Welcome to Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato, everything you ever wanted or needed to know about leadership. This is the program. Mary Gamba. Hey, Mary, from beautiful Montclair State University, we have a scholar in the field of business and leadership and management, Dr. Nicole Coppell. She is MBA director and professor at the Feliciano School of Business at the Montclair State University, my alma mater. Good to see you, doctor.
Nice to see you, too. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Nicole, we were up at campus with your president and some other terrific leaders up at Montclair State recently for an in-depth interview that we did with Bob Garrett, the CEO of HMH, Hackensack Meridian Health. And I was curious about this, which is why one of the reasons I wanted to have you come on. How did you get into academia, A, and B, why this field of business in academia?
So, my father was a professor, so I sort of had it in the runs in the family business. But I like teaching. I think it's a great way to really get involved. And it's a fun industry. I think academia is a great field to be in. It's a great profession. It's a great balance for, as a mom, as a profession, as I like teaching. And I've been at Montclair. I'm just finishing up my 25th year.
Wow.
However, I've been the MBA director for about 16 years now. And so I never really got into it to be an administration side of things. But
right.
I feel like the way things worked out for me, it's a great balance being able to teach, which is what I love to do, but also kind of running a business, running a program, and really having an opportunity to be creative, but most importantly, making a difference in students' lives and helping see students succeed. So it's win-win all around.
Yeah, real quick follow-up before Mary jumps in. I think you know, because I talked about this with Bob Garrett on campus, and I talked with you about it. I'm obsessed with, as a student of leadership, the connection between being a solid, effective, impactful communicator and being a great leader. It is impossible to be a great leader if you're not an effective communicator. Is that a fair assessment?
100%. We see it time and again. We can have great academics, but unless you really are able to communicate, and a bigger part of the soft skills, but really, and we, Bob Garrett was here, part of actually our executive speaker series. And
That's
so
right.
We've had a number of different high level executives coming in, and one after the next, and again, I'm doing this for a number of years. It is their communication. It's their, demeanor, their personality. Really, a people person makes such a difference in being a successful leader and having people listen to you, want to follow you, are inspired by you, are great mentors for our students, and really an inspiration. So 100% I agree with you. You got to be a great communicator and a great leader.
Well said. And by the way, when I say communication, it's more than speech making, a lot more. Mary.
Absolutely.
After 25 years, and it's ironic, Steve and I have worked together for 25 years as well. So we're at
that
same month.
Has it been that long?
It has been that long. I know, it doesn't feel, it maybe 5 years it feels like. but Nicole, I'd love to get your perspective on how technology, and not just artificial intelligence, I know there's a lot about AI, but even online courses were just so important and so needed during COVID and now beyond. But talk about how technology has impacted higher education.
It's in every aspect. I mean, I recently was having a conversation about textbooks, and they're almost a passe thing the way students learn now, whether they're using ebooks and readers, and I guess, yes, of course, AI. But in everything we're learning, students need to learn technology and learn how to be good, informed, ethical users of technology to be successful in industry. I mean, it is everywhere we are. And again, yes, 25 years ago, I did use a piece of chalk when I went into the classroom, eventually became a dry erase
pen.
And then the smart board. I mean, and the truth is, majority of my teaching now, given the fact that I do administration, I do a lot of online teaching. We did start an online MBA back in 2016. And so we're almost going on 10 years of our online MBA, which has been really our largest program that's been continually growing and has a mass appeal. We're really able to deliver an advanced degree, a graduate degree to students to be successful in a fully asynchronous online capacity, and really teaching students what they need to be successful in life and eventually a great leader.
Nicole, stay on that. Again, Mary and I, in our work with our company, Stand and Deliver, we do a significant number of in-person leadership seminars, but the vast majority of it is, in fact, still in this format. As someone who's taught on your end, on both sides, I'm not going to say it's easier to teach, to facilitate remotely. We can dress more casually at times. It's more comfortable. Do you think there's a significant difference between the impact of teaching in person versus remote? And I know it depends upon the class, the professor, the students, all of it. Go ahead.
Yes, to everything you just said. I would say maybe today less so than I would have said 8 or 9 years ago. I feel like we've gotten smarter in the way we're able to use the technology in our teaching. I think our students are becoming more savvy in using the technology and are much more comfortable in this environment. And I think we've had a lot, there's a lot of tools and products out there that help create and simulate what the real world is. The truth is, we're training them to work in business. And years ago, we were training
That's
them to
right.
work in business. So we were training them online, and then they were doing their work fully in person. It was a mismatch. But today, they are working in remote teams. They're working in global teams. And that's part of the way they're learning, and they're able to learn how to work remotely. So, yes, there's definitely a difference. I mean, again, in that sense, I'm a little bit old school. Face to face, in person,
Right.
really does make a difference. But I think we do a pretty good job of coming close to delivering the same level of success in an online environment.
Nicole, to your point, I'm not about the business of plugging my last book, but there's a chapter in Lessons in Leadership 2.0, The Tough Stuff, the book that I would never have been able to write without Mary's cooperation, assistance, and editing, et cetera. There's a chapter, Mary, right, about connecting on any platform in which we tell people, I'd rather be in person. Yeah, I know you'd rather be in person, but this is the hand you've been dealt. You have to be able to engage and communicate and connect with others remotely. Mary, we have found that even 5+ years after COVID, a significant percentage of the people we work with and coach and teach, they're not connecting. They're looking in the wrong place. I don't want to put my camera on today. What? Mary, that's not a question, Mary. I don't even know where I was going with that,
No,
but.
and it's so true. And just hearing you both talk about it, I'm smiling because we all had to embrace it. And again, for the younger generation, it was a lot easier. They've been using technology. For us, I'm like, what is this thing called Zoom? When COVID happened, of course, we'd all heard about it. And now it's with Zoom and Teams and all the other digital platforms, it does allow us to stay connected. But I do have a quick follow-up to that, Nicole. Because we have so many ways to stay connected, our phones in particular that are in our hands 24/7, how do we balance that with also being present, with also making those human connections? What advice do you have for educators who really are helping our next generation of leaders in the workforce be more engaged and present in reality and not just in technology?
It's a great question. You brought up a lot of topics right in here in just this last few minutes, from really the difference of not in person and the benefits and growth of, the benefits and in some cases decline, or negative aspects of teaching remotely. Students are often distracted. They're multitasking. Some of them think they could go to class while they're driving in their car and doing other things. And again, whether they want to put on their cameras or not. However, the bright side of it is I think there's a lot of benefits to it as well. And I think most important is you still need to stay engaged. You need to concentrate. You cannot be multitasking. You've got to be present. And I think one of the things that we really pride ourselves on and work on is really giving students, student engagement, experiential opportunities to really practice doing what they do best. And in many cases, it is over technology. And yes, we do have to remind students to put on their camera. Yes, get themselves centered in their camera, show that they're present, sit up straight, don't be lying in their bed, whatever those kind of things are, absolutely. But I do think we we show them why it's important, and bring in role models for them to see that. So I think they're going to have to learn that this is the way that the world is turning, and they're going to have to be able to work in all these different environments.
You got it right. That is and Dr. Nicole Coppel, MBA director and professor at the Feliciano School of Business at Montclair State University. Nicole, great having you with us. An important conversation. We look forward to talking in the future.
That's great. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it. Nice to see you both.
Was a pleasure. Well said. We'll be right back after this. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Introducing the Helix NJ, the Health and Life Science Exchange, a new innovation district located at the heart of the Northeast Corridor, providing industries, universities, and entrepreneurs the critical ecosystem needed to turn great ideas into breakthrough realities. The Helix NJ, where ideas come to life.
Everything you ever wanted or needed to know about leadership in accounting. We're joined by our good friend, John Barca, John C. Barca, who is a partner in charge, international tax services at Prager Metis CPAs. Good to see you, John.
Nice seeing you as well, Steve.
John, do you admit that several years ago, I coached you in the Leadership Academy at Prager Metis, and you said that every once in a while I said something that was worthwhile, but not often?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely remember being coached by you for sure.
Mary, John was supposed to say no, Steve. A lot of what you said, never mind. Do this for us. And you and I talked about this when we first met several years ago, pre-COVID, when we started working together. And we have this great leadership, emerging leaders initiative that Lori Roth and the team lead, and we work in a cooperation with them. But John, we worked with you. What struck me is I remember talking about leadership and the world of accounting, and that for a significant number of accountants, learning to be a great leader may not necessarily be natural. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely.
Talk about it.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody has their strong suits. Some people are better at things than others. You know, whether it's communication, public speaking, it's not necessarily natural to people, as well as myself. If you remember from our conversations, I mean, I struggled and still continue somewhat struggling to talk in front of people. But I think as part of the profession, as part of development, I think you need to kind of overcome those fears and obstacles and embrace change and embrace these things in order to kind of excel. So definitely it's not the same for everybody, but recognition is important.
Yeah, real quick before Mary jumps in, when we first started doing this work, and Glenn Friedman, who in fact made the connection in the beginning, he and I would talk about the need to get to fight past your feeling of being uncomfortable. Yeah, we know you're uncomfortable, but you need to put yourself in uncomfortable positions to grow. An oversimplification, John, is there something to that?
No, it's not oversimplification. I mean, like I mentioned, I had a fear of talking in front of people, I worked on it. You know, I worked on getting in front of people and kind of, you know, putting myself into those situations where it made me sweat a little bit, it made me get nervous a little bit, made the hands and legs shake a little bit. But I realized that if you get over the first few minutes, things start flowing, and you get better at it. So, and practice makes perfect. I tell my
No,
kids all the
practice,
time.
John, practice makes progress. Is hold
Okay.
on. There may be a perfect audit, maybe,
No.
but in communication leadership, I don't buy it's perfect. But you
Right.
make progress, right?
You made progress. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
Okay.
definitely, the more you do it, the better you get at it, the more natural it starts feeling. I don't want to say you become great at it, but you're better than what you used to before. So it's definitely need to practice, need to work on it.
That's all there is. And same thing in leadership. Just keep practicing. Go ahead, Mary.
John, welcome to the team. Welcome to the club. No matter how many years I've worked with Steve and I have continued to improve the way I communicate in public, there's still times where that voice gets shaky, your palms get sweaty. So trust me, I feel you. And, we're all a work in progress. I'd like to pivot a little bit. You head up international tax services, and I would have to imagine, just given the word international, you must have a team that works, shoulder to shoulder with you to make sure that internationally everything is running smoothly, because it's not like you could just hop down the hall or go talk to somebody at the water cooler. Talk about the culture of PragerMedis when it comes to having a strong team, that communication that's needed, and teamwork, and making sure that you have that continuum of communication, the client centered, and making sure you have that great team to help you do what you do.
Sure. I mean, it's true. As part of the international team, I mean, me and my team and others in the firm have very specialized knowledge about a very specialized area. So people rely on us within the firm, as well as our clients and our resources outside of the firm, to stay on top of the industry, the developments in the industry in this field. And what that creates is for us to have a constant communication and development within our team to stay on top of everything. And that allows us to basically have quality of work that people depend on and rely on. Our clients depend on it, rely on it, as well as our colleagues. And we couldn't have that quality of work if we didn't properly communicate within each other as well as with our clients, because obviously every detail is important. If we don't get the right information from clients, we would miss something, and which potentially could cause incorrect tax filings, penalties, and other problems. So communication is important in all aspects of what we do, internally as well as externally. And that also translates into efficiencies. It translates into progress and less stress. We obviously have a lot of deadlines that we always deal with, and
That's
the more
right.
we communicate internally and externally, the better we come at what we do, and it allows us to be, much more lean machine and get our work done properly.
One more quick follow-up, John. Building relationships with your clients. I mean, client PragerMedis is a client of ours. We work really hard to build positive, meaningful, valuable relationships with your leadership. Same thing for you. That's not a 9-to-5 gig, 5 days a week, is it?
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's outside of 9 to 5, only because I feel, I'm personally speaking, of course, 9 to 5, you're dealing with emails and talk with clients about their work. They call you about a question, you answer. But I think the relationship really gets built outside of 9 to 5. The best relationship I have with clients are the ones that, on a weekend we end up, going someplace, or, maybe a dinner plan at after work, or some event that we attend together. It's those relationships that are really the great relationships, and it allows both of the people to kind of come out of their shell, the working shell, and kind of connect more than just, where's my tax return? How much taxes do I have to pay? So I think you need to work on it outside of the 9 to 5. And also, it's not just you and the client, it's also your surroundings. I have many relationships with clients, not just by myself, with my wife. We go out sometimes with kids, so
You
it
do.
I certainly
So
do,
you
absolutely.
connect your professional and your personal life.
from, I mean, again, not, with maybe not all clients, but at the end of the day,
No.
the clients that I really connect with that are closer to my surroundings. If my client has kids my kids' age, you know, I have no problem in basically saying, hey, you know, you want to get together or do something, and they enjoy that. You probably can't do that with all clients, but at the end
No,
of the
you
day, I
can't.
think those are what makes a difference in building client relationships, going out of your way, doing the extra mile.
John, when we first met, and I think about how much you've grown as a leader, as a public communicator, it is it's not just rewarding for me as a teacher and coach in the field of leadership. I'm happy for the firm too, because it's leaders like you that continue to make Prager Meddis a top firm in the field of accounting and all related services. John Barca, partner in charge, international tax services at Prager Meddis CPAs. Thank you, John.
Appreciate it, Steve.
You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. Welcome back to Lessons in Leadership, Steve Adubato. Mary, a couple things. I got some, this is extensive research from my favorite newspaper of all time, other than the New York Times,
The New York
the New
Post.
York Post.
And I don't think you know that my husband Bill also gets a New York Post every day and reads it cover to cover, loves it. It's great. And you know, you actually do get a lot of great stories in there.
You do. And by the way, the best sports section anywhere. But this is a couple, these are a couple stories in the New York Post. One, can I get a quick react, Mary? We're going to do the lightning round of leadership topics.
All right.
I don't know if I've ever said this to you before. This was a headline. Donald Trump, president, not political, leadership. The headline says, I've not made any mistakes.
That's
Go ahead,
amazing.
go.
I think it's spectacular. It's to be expected. It is his ego level of confidence, and I kind of like it, and I think it's funny. Is it
So you,
appropriate for the president of the United States? No, but I
hold
do
on. You think
think that
it's,
it's
you, hold on 1 second. You think it's confidence to say I've made no mistakes? Good. Now that I know that that's what you think, every time I make what I think is a mistake to myself, and you know it, I've made no mistakes, Mary.
No mistakes, no mistakes. No, I mean, it's just, it's to be expected though. I think at this point that bar is where it is. There's like the every other person bar, and then there's the President Donald Trump bar. So as long as you know that's where he's coming from, I'm
Can't we
okay with
just
it.
measure the bar on leadership standards of excellence?
No, I think there's different standards of excellence depending upon who you're talking about.
Mary, if we keep telling people there's always room for progress, you need to own your mistakes. One of our favorite leadership books is Extreme Ownership, written by two Navy SEALs. We talk about it all the time. I made no mistakes. And you're saying, ah, no biggie. I think it's the same. I always say to you, Mary, when we let our political ideology or who we like or don't like get in the way of we analyze the way we analyze leadership, it's a problem. When you say it's a double standard or different standards for people, we would respectfully disagree. I don't think there is.
But I do want to just say one thing to put a little exclamation point on there. It's he did that for the headline. I don't think he truly believes that. That was Donald Trump is all about. He knows what that headline's going to be, in my opinion.
So you think he's introspective and self-aware and says to himself at night, you know, I really didn't handle that well, but I'm not going to say that publicly. That's what you think.
I don't know that deep, obviously, but I do believe that he is constantly thinking how to do things better, in my opinion.
And I think he just does what he does, how he does it, when he wants to do it. And that's how he leads. And if you don't agree with him, you better not say it. Just saying, that's not the kind of leadership we promote. This is a different kind of leadership. This is in the New York Post again. I feel like we're just ripping headlines from the New York Post.
I love it though.
This is Jamie Dimon, 69 years of age, at JP Morgan, a relatively large bank. They keep asking him, you know, and Jamie Dimon's considered one of the best leaders in the world of banking, even though Valley Bank is our favorite bank. He says, you know what? They keep asking me when I want to retire. No, I'm nowhere near it. I'm great at what I do. Listen to this. I love what I do. I'm going to stick around for a few more years. Mary, does the leader, even if they're at the top of their game for years, does the leader, do most leaders know when it's time to step aside, or do they / we have to be pushed out?
I think the majority of leaders.
We did on another show, we did the whole thing about President Biden. Oh, it was clearly he was not in a position to lead and no one would tell him. So he thought he still was. Go ahead, Mary.
Exactly. And I think the majority of leaders are afraid. Most people that get to a point, if they're in the C-suite, as we call it, their CEOs or CFOs, CIOs, they have arrived. They feel relevant because of their status and stature where they are within the organization. So that is their identity. So I think in most cases, leaders are afraid to admit that it's time to mail it in, to retire, to because then they're also afraid that if I do that, I'm going to slow down. And then the next thing is where we're all going to be one day and on the other side of the grass. So
hold on, wait a minute. You just blew my mind. So let me get this straight. You think for some leaders, some, what we do becomes a big part of who we are?
It defines who they are, and it is challenging to be anything but. That's why a lot of leaders, when they retire, become chairmen, chairwomen of boards, and they start a nonprofit, they start a new project of some sort. It's that need to be relevant. And it's the need to leave something greater than yourself behind that I think a lot of these leaders aspire to be and aspire to do. But they also need to acknowledge that the current place that they are in a leadership role, maybe at a bank, as you were just talking about, JP Morgan, may not be where they're going to sunset their leadership overall.
Yeah, but I know we have 90 seconds left. Thank you, Elvin. Let me just say this, Mary. This is a complex question. People say, oh, professionally. Mary's saying that the issue to step aside as a top-level leader is not simply about business or professional. It's also personal. And obviously, I know what she's talking about, because in all candor, down the road at some point, clearly, other than the fact we're all going to die, which last time I checked, that's still true, right?
Yeah, I think it's true.
Okay. But I am not sure all of us do have to step aside at a certain point if you love what you do and you're good at what you do simply because of age.
Not because of age, but because of the impact that age is going to have on our cognitive ability. That
I agree
is
with
why
that.
And when.
I absolutely agree with that.
Or health or judgment.
How the heck do you know if cognitively you're impaired as a leader, you don't know that you don't know?
But that's when the people around you need to raise their hand and say, time out, Steve. That thing that you just said in a meeting.
Are you saying it for real right now?
This is an intervention.
Even if the leader gets peeved, you got to say.
Even if the leader gets peeved. And unfortunately, the leader may not take that information and use it the way that they should or could. But you still have to say it and try your best.
Promise me you'll tell me when the time has come.
I promise.
For Mary Gamba, myself, and a great team that I hope will tell me before I embarrass myself in public. Lessons Leadership. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.